So are you ready? I love the word ready. Or used more in a question-like format, ready? Do you have a dog? Any of you? When I say that, I get my coat on and I tell my dog, I say, Lucky, ready? She gets all excited. You know, she kind of sits up. She's ready to go. Is that what you think when we hear Jesus' words today? So you too must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at a time you don't expect. Do we anticipate like that? Just like the dog ready to charge out the door? Ready? I don't know. That's our question today. Have you ever communicated something to people and you thought you got your point across and you're certain they got the message, and then only to later find out that person or group would have said, well, I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me? Or, I didn't know you meant now. Has that ever happened to you? I think it's happened to all of us. And Jesus is telling us today, and I believe he's being very clear, that we are to be ready. Be ready. And this section of Scripture clearly talks about that second advent, or that time when Jesus returns. He's talking about the end times, when God remakes the entire world, all things new. Remember, we talked about this if you were here last Sunday. New heavens and new earth. He's saying to be ready. Sometimes we take this text and we remind ourselves to be ready for that time when we pass from this earth, when we die, whether Jesus has returned or not. We're to be ready. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. Be ready. But before we jump ahead too far, thinking about this text, I think scholars would remind us or caution us to, wait a minute, let's look at the text in its original context first. And so here's what scholars typically say, something along these lines in regard to our gospel reading today, Matthew 24. It's vital, therefore, to read the passage as it would have been heard by Matthew's first audience. I guess we would agree with that. And there it seems we are back to the great crisis that was going to sweep over Jerusalem and its surrounding countryside at a date that was to them in the unknown future. Okay, that makes sense. Though we now know that it happened in AD 70, the climax between Rome and Judea. It was the swift and sudden sequence of events that ended with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. The warning was primarily directed to the situation of dire emergency in the first century, after Jesus' death and resurrection, before his words about the temple came true. So clearly this is true. We know that this war happened. The temple was destroyed in 70. And so there might be those who say that, so we're off the hook then, right? This text really doesn't apply to us. Jesus isn't specifically speaking to us, only to the first century Christians. Would you agree? No, I don't think so either. It's true that all those things happened in 70, but this text clearly is also talking about the end times. Matthew writes much about Jesus coming again, but Matthew is telling us to be ready, telling us how to live and not to worry about predicting when this time will come. And I think we've seen that through the centuries, haven't we? People trying to predict when Jesus is going to return. It's going to be this time or that, and nobody knows except the Father. But it is telling us how to live, how to be ready. Our first reading today, we really heard about that, how to live, to love one another. That's how we're to live. loving the Lord above all. In fact, Matthew 22, just a couple chapters before our reading today, told us how God wants us to live. Love God above everything. Put God first in all you do, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Just a short part before our reading today. I think when we think about Advent and our living in this time and the end times, we often use the word wait. And even in talking about Advent, we're talking about this period of waiting. I don't like that word wait, because I think it causes us to form a defensive posture, if you will. A posture really of doing nothing. I think it's better to say, are you ready in this time as we wait for Jesus to come? This section is really a call to action. And I want to go back to that first reading and read to you Romans 13:11. And do this, do. Understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Wake up. Wake up from your slumber. Are you ready? It sounds like action. And I like how the New Living Translation translates this same verse. This is all the more urgent. Urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I don't know about you, but urgent and urgency is not a word I would use to describe the church, sadly. I think waiting, defensive posture, would be more accurate when we think about the church and its mission. I believe these readings are calling us to a sense of urgency, to go and to do, to love God above everything, to love our neighbors, and to be bold. You know, when we look at the scriptures and look at the people that God used in mighty and powerful ways, it's pretty clear the type of people he used. He used people that were living with a sense of urgency. People who were bold. And I want to share just two of them with you and see what we can learn from them. So I believe there's two things that the lesson today are telling us to do. The first thing I believe we need to do is pray for a sense of urgency. I believe God is calling us to live with a sense of urgency. Now, not sometime in the future. So I want to share with you one of my favorite characters from the Bible, Caleb. Remember Caleb? Numbers 13 and 14 really is much of his story described. Remember what happens here, or what had happened prior to this? The people of God had been delivered from bondage to slavery, and in Egypt, and they were on their way to the promised land, and it was just going wonderfully. And there they were, ready to go. Moses sent out spies into the promised land, remember? They came back with the report. Two people had a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And what did Caleb say? We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. What did the others say? We seem like grasshoppers in our eyes. We look like the same to them. We can't go, Lord. We're too small. We're going to get squished. Caleb said, we should go. What a sense of urgency he had. What a sense of boldness that went with that urgency. We can do it. We can go. Let's go now. What did they do? They listened to the majority and they didn't go. And they ended up spending 40 years wandering around in the desert, going nowhere. What are the giants right here at Mount Hope? What are the areas that God is asking us to step out and conquer? What is urgent for us here at Mount Hope? So I challenge all of us today to take this first step, all of us as a congregation, all of us as individuals, to pray for the urgency and the spirit of Caleb. Listen to Numbers 14:24, how Caleb was described. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Urgency. Are you ready? Pray for that urgency, the urgency of Caleb. Second, I believe we need to pray for the courage to go. It's one thing to have this sense of urgency and to know and to be convinced of doing something. But then we need to pray for that courage to go. One of my other favorite characters, I guess, is Jonathan. Remember him? 1 Samuel 14, this story comes from Jonathan, King Saul's son. Also someone who was filled with urgency, acted with boldness. Apparently the people of God were pinned down by the Philistines. And Saul must have been kind of paralyzed because he really wasn't doing his job. 1 Samuel 14:2 says, "Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men." They were just doing nothing. They were waiting. But then this, "No one was aware that Jonathan had left." Jonathan was filled with urgency. Listen to this. "Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, 'Come, let's go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few.'" See that boldness? Was Jonathan guaranteed victory here? I don't think so. "Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf." But he was filled with this urgency, boldness, and he just acted. He stepped out in faith. And the Lord honored that and gave them victory. What are the areas for us that God is asking us to step out in boldness because of this urgency that's fueling us, compelling us to act? What is it? So I challenge all of us today to pray for urgency. Pray for the Lord to open our eyes, to break our hearts for people who don't know Him, to show us places where we aren't putting Him first. What are our idols? And then number two, to give us the courage to step out in boldness, just like Caleb and Jonathan. Going. I believe those two prayers will empower us. And it's my prayer that those two prayers will lead us, guide us into the future. Pray for urgency. Pray for boldness. Step out in faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll receive our tithes.